The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. And I will be reading the extended version of the Gospel lesson for today. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his deeds of power had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, on that day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted in heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friends, this is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, for those who may not know me yet, I am Reverend Paul Myers, an ELCA pastor on leave from call in the Northwest Ohio Synod. While I am on leave from call, I am doing chaplaincy work for the Marion Area LGBTQ Coalition. We recently had our Pride Picnic at Lincoln Park there in Marion, a time to gather in solidarity, to share a meal and life together in a safe environment. And when I say safe, I mean emotionally safe.
or at least as emotionally safe as a group can be with the real threat of protesters or physical altercations always present. But thankfully, there were no incidents and everyone had a wonderful time. And I remember talking to one lady who was concerned about there not being any kind of local support ministry, support group for the parents of trans teens and trans kids. She was such a parent and asked if we could start something, get something going in that regard. And of course I said yes. And I gave her my card and said, contact me and we'll talk. But later I was thinking about why no one would have thought of this before. Because the need has obviously been around for a while. And then it hit me that this kind of support group would be a very tense setting because of the real danger of some kind of incident disrupting an already emotionally delicate time for people. And a lot of people just don't want to go there. Our world, and yes, even our town, our small towns, are very homogeneous for the most part. We look around as we go places and do things, and we see people who are mostly like us, whatever that us is for you. So if you're older, you tend to see others who are older as you go about your days. If you're white, you tend to see other people who are white when you do the things you do in groups. If you're gay, you tend to see and meet with others who are gay. That's because we all look for places where we feel comfortable and safe and accepted. That's just human nature, right? We want to belong. And in order to belong, we usually seek groups where it will be easier to belong. Groups who have our beliefs, our values, our ethnic background, and all the other things that make us feel like a group. But Jesus is reminding us in our gospel for today that thinking is contrary to the kingdom of God. I love the parable that Jesus uses here in the gospel. We played the flute for you, these children say, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. He's comparing his current leadership and institutions and society to a bunch of kids playing around in the streets. Jesus is saying that people expect those around them to behave like they behave. If we play dancing music, we expect you to dance, because that's what we do. And if something upsets us and our way of life, we expect you to also be upset by the same things. Isn't that the way society is supposed to work, though? Aren't we supposed to all have the same thoughts and values and beliefs? Well, in most corners of the world, this is the assumption that many people make. We are all supposed to find the same things offensive and the same things worthy of acceptance. And yet, here's Jesus criticizing that very way of thinking. Now, he isn't saying that there should be no commonality between individuals in a group, because that's part of what makes a group cohesive and attractive to others who might want to join the group. But what he is saying is that we shouldn't let our similarities be the alpha and omega of how we think and act as a group. For example, I'm a musician. More specifically, I'm a blues musician. More specifically, I'm a blues bass player. So if anybody needs a bass player, just let me know and we'll do some stuff. But if I only connected and talked with and played with or accepted into my circle of friends other blues bass players, we wouldn't have much fun playing the blues. We wouldn't have much fun. We wouldn't even be able to sound good. Because we need musicians. We need vocalists. We need guitarists. We need pianists. We need sax players and harmonica players. And all of the rest to make good blues music. And not only that, we also need musicians from other genres, like jazz or rock or others, to make new ways of making blues music. All of that diversity comes in and makes life better in the musical world. But our world wants the world to be the same. And each faction of this incredibly diverse world seems to want its version of society and values and beliefs and gender and religion to be the same, like theirs. This is sin. When Jesus gives his woes to Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, he was naming this sin. They saw the works of God through the miracles of Jesus, and they said, well, that's nice, but we like things the way they are, our way. We don't want to repent and turn to your new way of living. We don't want to see the diversity of God's kingdom as good. We just want to continue in our own selfish ways. Rather than turn toward Jesus' offer of new life, a life based in love and dignity and acceptance, they chose to stick to their small town attitudes. We don't need to change because all that stuff doesn't affect us here. That's all big city stuff. And yet, I have people who want me to start a support group for the parents of trans kids in Mount Gilead and Cardington and Marion. You see, it doesn't matter where we live. If we really want to see, we will see that the diversity of life and thought is all around us. If we really want to see the deeds of God's creative power in our world, we will go looking for them. We will open our eyes and we will see them. We can see them in our schools, in our workplaces, in our parks, in our streets. And when we finally see them all in their beauty and diversity, Jesus offers us a choice. And the reason there's a choice is that when we see God's deeds of creative power that we have perhaps never seen before, we will be convicted in our own spirits, convicted of our own apathy and blindness to the world around us. We will realize that we've been guilty ourselves of small town mentality, of thinking that the struggles and challenges of others are not our problem here. And I'll tell you, it was a burden for me when I realized that I was thinking small town. Once my eyes were opened to the real fear, emotional distress, and exclusion of my gay friends, the exclusion that I was part of perpetrating by my own blindness, I was convicted. But as Paul says, thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. For the last verses in this Gospel of Matthew come to us today to lift us. It says, come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus gives us the most compelling and challenging passage here of love and acceptance. Are you worn out? Are you tired of being like everyone else and having it fail to bring you any peace? Are you burdened by the weight of your apathy and blindness toward those whom you could not see before? Jesus says, I will give you rest. Come, take that burden, that yoke of small town, it doesn't affect me, blindness, off your shoulders and put on a different yoke, one of reaching out, of loving and seeing your neighbor, of accepting the deeds of creative power which God has done out of love for humanity. In first century Palestine, where Jesus lived and walked, the teacher would have students or disciples, and those disciples would learn the teacher's ways, thoughts, and values, and beliefs, and understanding of the world in order to spread that teacher's school of thought. This learning and spreading was called taking on the yoke of the teacher. We were talking in Sunday school about this. Picture two oxen yoked together with that big hunk of wood right across their shoulders. One of them would be older and more experienced in plowing and would be yoked with a younger one who would follow the more experienced one and learn what it means to do the work and would grow in that knowledge. And then that one would eventually become the experienced one who would then be yoked to another. That's what Jesus means when he says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. So Jesus is offering his followers and us that new yoke. It is easy and it isn't that heavy. The yoke that Jesus offers is the new kingdom of God, where diversity is essential, so that we keep looking beyond ourselves toward the other. Specifically, we are called to look to the other whom other people don't see. We are called to be ambassadors for God's kingdom to everyone who is fearful, hidden, hurting, and outside of the small town mentality that society so loves. Jesus offers us a place where love rules, where lives matter, where dignity is paramount, and where all are welcome. God has already accepted every person who lives. Through the cross of Jesus, God has called all people and said, "Come to me." And God is asking us to join in the joy and rest of creating a kingdom where there is always the goal. There is always the goal of love and acceptance. God has given us the kingdom, so let us share it with everyone as generously as God has shared it with us. Without condition. God has placed no condition on love. And so we are to learn that through the yoke of Jesus and to teach that to the world who doesn't know it yet. And this is a gift. And for this gift, we say thanks be to God. Amen.